Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. Got kind of a special show this morning, a little different than my normal type of show, but definitely an outdoor thing. I have Bonnie Edwards and Jim Peterson in with the Tout Bird Club. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
And first of all, let's start off, Jim. What is the Tout Bird Club, and how long has it been around?
Well, the Tout Bird Club was established in 1935. By Wilson Tout, who grew up around New York, went to York College, and took a job out here in North Platte with the public school systems. He eventually became superintendent, so he found himself with maybe a little extra time, but he was, he was an ornithologist from the birth canal, because it sounds like he was just extremely avid, and when he got out here, I've heard a story that he walked everywhere. He didn't have a car, didn't have a vehicle at all. But in the 30s and 40s, hunting was a pretty important part of feeding family. So people would maybe shoot a duck and then didn't know what it was. They'd bring it to him, and he'd look at it and identify it. And if he couldn't, he'd go to Dr. Bruner down at Kearney College for help. He made these little notes, little postcard, little like recipe card notes, and he had tons and tons of these. And eventually in 1947, I believe it was, wrote a book, a composite of all these different little cards. And he always put a little, where they're normally found, described the bird, and then he had his own little sayings that he came up with them. And His wife now was even as bad as he was, I guess.
Yeah. When I was doing the research for the article I wrote on it, he met Nell through the bird club.
Yeah.
And then they got married, of course, and then forever, until they died, literally, participated in their stuff. And then both of them were teachers, and both of them really brought that into the classroom, too, which is good.
Right. Yeah, he was part of one of the charter members, I guess you could say, of the Nebraska Ornithology Union, and the club itself was pretty strong up until the mid-80s, and then it just tended to be older people, had time on their hands, and the last couple that I was really familiar with at, in the club was Bert and Carol Sommerhalder. Bert was a ag engineer out at the research center, and they basically closed it up. And I made a valid attempt at getting out to their sale when they passed away to see if I could find any history, of the club, and it was gone. I didn't find anything at all. So it kind of died away until TJ came to town, and then in 2008 he put in the paper, had a meeting, and I think we had 30 people show up, and so there was quite a bit of interest there, so we kept it going for a couple of years, and now we're kind of down to a magical four or five people, and we're trying to revive it. We had a meeting at the library a month in February, and I think we had 30 people show up, and I think Bonnie has a list of 50, 55 people now that are interested, so that's our main emphasis, is to get people involved in it.
Very good.
Enjoy where to go and what you might see, and go from there.
I teach a lot of management type training, and this club follows the classic ebb and flow of any type of organization, where you get a bunch of new people, new blood, they call it, and it ramps up, plateaus out, and then dies off as people move away from it. So I'm glad to see you guys are doing this again. And the one meeting I attended where you had the 30-35 people, they looked like they were pretty they were excited bunch.
It was I kind of got walked away with the feeling that a lot of them had a pretty deep interest in it already. There were a few newbies, but I think we can get a lot more if we figure out what they want and how we can get it done. So
and I know Bonnie, you've you, with Jim, have kind of taken the lead on this rebirth of the club.
Well, I love birding. I'm pretty new to it. So, I mean, I only started like 5 or 6 years ago birding, but I love it and I like to share with people and I especially like to get kids interested. So we had a few kids at the meeting, and then we had another meeting this month. A guy from Pheasants Forever talked about pollinators and plantings. So we're going to try to...
Was that Pete Berthelsen by any chance?
Andy Moore.
Andy Moore, okay.
Yeah.
Pete, I know, started all that with Pheasants Forever, and then now he's moved on and got his own corporation going.
So what we're kind of thinking is try to have a meeting once a month, and right now try just to do the first Monday of each month, and at the library it's probably the most convenient, from about 6 to 7. It's a little bit early for some people, but the library closes at 7 now, so we're doing 6 to 7. April 4th, we're going to have a guy from InCorp talk to us about prairie chickens and the prairie chicken blind down on InCorp property. Then I think we're just going to meet probably October through April to have meetings, but during the summer and spring, we'll have some outings. Like last Saturday, we did sandhill cranes. We just drove around and found areas. I think we found 20 species of birds. We just drove from North Platte to Hershey and around North River Road. And so we had 20 species.
Good spots. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did good. And so the outings are kind of going to be a spur of the moment a little bit, because we never know where the birds are going to
show up. Yeah.
Right. So we can't plan too far in advance and weather and roads and stuff. So I've got 56 people on my email list.
Very good.
So try to keep people in contact that way. We do have a Tout Bird Club Facebook page that we try to keep up. Like whenever we see a new bird, we try to post where we saw it and share that with others.
I don't know if she's told you, Jim, but every now and then I'll call her and send her off on a wild, no pun intended, wild goose chase. The last one was a snowy owl.
Oh, cool.
I saw one here in town and actually got a couple pictures of it. One at the Methodist Church, and then one it was sitting on the big lights at the exit over here on 179. And I called Bonnie and she was, drop everything, running out, and I don't know if she ever caught up with it.
I did not on that one.
It's a bummer, but... Yeah. Now, I know you said you, Bonnie, have just really been into this a short time. What got you interested in
bird watching? I'm in 2017, Nebraska Land Magazine put out a challenge to try to see 150 birds for Nebraska's 150th birthday.
Uh-huh.
So some friends and I decided we would try to take photos
and
of 150.
We're talking 150 different species. Not 150 birds.
Right, 150 species. So, yes, some friends and I decided we'd take pictures of 150. So I didn't even know we had that many birds. I mean, I maybe knew 5 or 10. And ended up with 217 species. So 300 is kind of the magic number. So 2 years ago, I ended up with 317.
Very good.
Yeah. So I travel a lot of miles and do sometimes drop everything if I see a rare bird alert. Jim can attest, we have a Christmas bird count in December, and to count the birds in a certain area. And the first year, I got paired up with Jim, and he would know I didn't know any birds at all.
How long have you been? Are you a professional ornithologist?
Oh,
or just
by far. No.
We're birders.
No, we're just birders.
We're birders. There are people even more crazy than we are. But I've always been an outdoors person. You know, grew up thinking I wanted to be a game warden and all that good stuff and be outside, and found out that's pretty hard position to find in life.
Yeah.
And so retired back in 2012. And I was thinking, I'm going to have to find something to do for all these idle hours I'm going to have now that I'm retired. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as idle hours when you retire. And TJ, I went to the TJ meeting there and just kind of got to like, I mean, I always liked birds, and I got my wife, I thought this would be a good thing for her also, because to her, a duck was a duck, you know, and my God, we've got 35 species of ducks probably around here at times.
At least.
And so it...
That's my top rare bird that I have ever seen. And I was up in the sand hills just, you know, working some of the wetlands, taking some pictures, ran into a harlequin duck.
Oh, yeah.
No. And those are usually Pacific Northwest. So right. You don't see them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful duck, yeah. But it, I don't know, it just kind of grows on you. I think the good Lord gave us a lot of beautiful things, and birds are just one of them.
Amen.
You know? And so we're just going to try and get as many people involved as we can, and because it's pretty easy. It just takes a little time, and you get exercise doing it. And so.
Now let's talk, you know, it takes a little time, but it also takes maybe some, a little bit of equipment investment if you really want to get into it. What do you guys recommend?
Well, you need to buy a good bird book, first of all, I think is the most important thing, so you can kind of look through the pages and maybe find the bird, you know. And binoculars are always nice, not necessary by any means. I think probably the best thing I would do would be just start with a feeder in your backyard.
You know? Okay. I hear music in the background, which is Tristan's way of telling me it's time for a commercial, so
okay.
We're going to make a break, and we come back, let's talk about setting up a feeder and what you
okay.
need to do for that.
Okay.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Jim Peterson and Bonnie Edwards this morning. We're talking about the Tout Bird Club. Just as we went off, we were talking about a feeder and something, of course, that can help the birds. But what should you look for when putting up a feeder? Where should it go? What type of food should you supply for them?
The main thing that birds want is protection. They want a big tree or shrub, somewhere where they can dive into to get away from a Cooper's hawk or whatever, because if you have a feeder, you're going to have a Cooper's hawk eventually. But they recommend that the feeder be at least 10 feet away from a window. There's a lot of birds, if they fright, they'll go right for that window thinking that they're free, and they either kill themselves or knock themselves dizzy.
That seems to be, from what I've read through some of Cornell's university stuff, that seems to be the second leading cause of death for birds, is hitting plate glass windows.
Right. Feeder-wise, you can spend $20 to $40 or even less, I guess. I highly recommend just feeding black oil sunflower seeds. That will satisfy most of the songbirds. People can put out suet for the woodpeckers, woodpeckers and nuthatches are just fabulous. The white-breasted nuthatch is a favorite bird of mine. Just watching them go around the limbs and around the feeder, and of course they cache food in the bark. They'll take a seed and they'll pound it into the bark, but safety, the trees or shrubs are really important. And keep it off the ground so dogs and cats can't jump up on it, probably 6 to 7 feet off the ground. I guess you have to be able to reach it to fill it, but it's fun. You can just while away the time just sitting there watching them. So.
Now, if you have a feeder, once you put it up, are you committed, like, so the birds don't get used to it, and then in the winter you don't go out and put food in it, and then they're in trouble?
Well, basically, my feeling is you don't feed anything during the summer because there's plenty of natural food, and they know where to find it. And but in the wintertime, once you start feeding, you probably better keep feeding because they do get dependent on you. Last year, I don't know how many bags of sunflower seeds I went through, just twice as many as I have this year. This year just hadn't been a lot of birds for some reason, you know. So you can, if you have four or five feeders, you can put some money
And it gets addictive. When my number two son, before he left home, he was kind of into this, and we had finches around the house. And they made a nest up under the eaves.
Oh, yeah.
So the next thing I knew is we were running coax for the finch cam that was up under the eave that was now hooked to the computer so you could watch the chicks hatch and stuff like that. It gets fun. It's a lot of fun. Great. So
that's extreme, but that's okay.
I think water is important, too. During the winter, we find that just a heated dog dish works really good, just so they have a little bit of water, but I think during the winter, that's pretty important to keep water out.
Yeah, especially the last couple winters where we've had the really frigid temperatures.
Right.
Everything locked up. What about, you mentioned some of the plans you have for little forays that you guys will make. What do you got in line for that?
We're hoping in April that we can do a field trip to the prairie chicken blind down on the in-court property. Then during the spring migration, just some of the local roads looking for like sandpipers and yellow legs, some ducks along the ditches. Then like during the winter, hopefully maybe go to even Ogallala, look at eagles.
Eagles and ospreys. Yeah.
Right. Maybe go to Halsey. I've got a couple of programs lined up for next year. A guy from that works with the sharp-tailed grouse blinds up at Halsey.
Okay.
It's going to hopefully talk to us, and maybe Julie Bain, the forester at Halsey. Mm-hmm. She said she would do a program. So we're kind of interested in anybody that would like to share anything. It doesn't have to be just about birds. Like
we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I've got one that most people don't think of. We'll talk about whenever we set that.
I have you on my list. There's a couple other things. Megan Mannery is going to have a couple of bio blitzes coming up in May.
Explain what a bio blitz is. Now she is very good at it.
She is very good. I'll tell you what I can. She's got like little mini stations set up where like at night they're going to set some traps and then check those in the morning for. I'm not exactly sure. You probably know more about that. But
is she going to put the nets up and try to catch some birds?
I don't know about the birds, but I know it was like mammals they were going to do. And then like in the morning, there was going to be a birding session and then a couple of other sessions on different things. So you spend like a couple hours at different mini sessions.
Right.
She's got one planned May 20th and 21st at Enders. And then June 3rd and 4th will be here at North Platte out at Buffalo Bill's Ranch.
Okay.
The NOU that Jim was talking about, Nebraska Ornithologists Union, has a meeting in Gehring on May 20th and 21st. May is Nebraska Migratory Bird Month, so there's kind of activities all across the state.
Governor Ricketts just signed a new proclamation.
Okay.
Wednesday.
Yeah, a lot of the different places are having activities and a bird hike.
Sandhill crane is now our official migratory bird, according to that
good.
Proclamation.
Okay. We do have, Game and Parks has a blind down near Hershey on a WMA that's free to the public for sandhill crane viewing.
I've been there, and it's pretty good.
Yep. So don't have to go east. We're pretty lucky right here where we're at. As far as birds, we get eastern birds, western birds. I think we're in a really good area.
Yeah.
State.
We're right on eastern edge of the western birds and the western edge of the eastern birds.
So a lot of overlap.
Yeah, not a lot, but there's, you catch, and in different parts of Nebraska, like the pinion jay up in Scotts Bluff, we don't have them down here, but they do make it up.
We don't have pinion pine.
That's true. We do up in certain spots, but Ogallala's really, they have a wide assortment of birds. They've got all the waterfowl.
I just noticed your shirt, Bonnie. Bird nerd. I like
that. I wore it on purpose.
Now, you in particular are into photography with your birds.
Yes, I am.
And photography is great, but they don't necessarily have to spend as much on equipment as you have. But they can do well.
And especially if you see something that's maybe a little bit rare. Sometimes the people that accept birds of Nebraska, like that review the lists, if you have a photo or maybe a recording of the bird sound, then they'll accept it as a record. But if you don't have proof, that bird might not be accepted.
I thought of you the other morning. I was out. I was working with Dusty Barner and his crane watching tours. And we were on the river. It's, you know, dark 30 in the morning. We're waiting for the cranes to start to leave and fly and whatnot. And I heard a bird I could not identify. And I couldn't record it, and I can't mimic it. But I thought, God, Bonnie would know that one.
So there's some bird apps, too, you know, that you can put on your phone. So I have one. It's Merlin. They actually have a sound recording. So if you hear a bird, you click sound, and you start recording it, and it'll give you a list of birds to pick from.
Is that one of the Cornell ones?
Yes.
Yep.
There was one of those I started to download, and it was taking so long I gave up on
it. I have the picture. It'll identify by pictures, or you can put in colors. What did you see it doing? What area was it
size,
in?
Size, shape. Yeah.
How far have either of you gone to go find a specific bird that might have been on your bucket list?
East of town.
East of town.
Oh, well, I've been to Indian Cave. I've been to Wildcat Hills. I go to Fort Robinson.
You can't go much further in Nebraska and still be in Nebraska if you're going from Indian Cave down southeast up to Wildcat Hills, diagonally across the state. That's about as far as you can run.
I think I've covered almost every part except very northeast. I've been Ponca, up by Lewis and Clark.
Right.
I'm not as crazy as some people.
I know there are some people that will fly halfway around the world look at a specific bird.
When we had that Williamson sapsucker here a few years ago, there was people from Texas, just all over, because that was such a rare bird.
Wow. And it always amazes me how they get here. You know, they have a normal flyway,
right,
area.
Right.
But then, boom, one of them shows up. What blows them off course, or what makes them come here?
The woodpecker down at Schramm 2 years ago. Is that Richardson's? Is that what? It was an odd, very rare for even down there.
Have they totally given up on the ivory bill? I know they declared it extinct for a while, and then they found one down in extreme northeast Arkansas a few years back.
Yeah.
Actually got a picture, got a recording, got pictures of it.
Okay.
So it's a very small population, but it's still there. And
it's,
I think,
probably very remote. I'm sure it's
out in the middle of a swamp.
Hard to find. Yeah, yeah.
Do we have pileated woodpeckers here in Nebraska?
In Fontenelle Forest, eastern part of the state.
Okay. Yeah,
they're big. I've seen.
They're
a couple.
Big. Yeah. Yeah, they're not too far off the high rebuild. They're not quite as big, but they're.
Last year was kind of exciting. We had two sandhill cranes that had young ones that had colts around North Platte.
Okay. Yeah.
One of them I only saw one time, and it probably got eaten or something. Something happened to it. But there was two that were west of town that I saw four different times, so they made it all the way June through August.
Yeah.
That was pretty exciting.
That's very good. And that was a question that came up the other day, is what do you call a young sandhill crane?
Colt.
Very good. So if anybody is interested in belonging, getting involved with you guys, how do they get in touch with you, and those type of things?
Well, probably can call me, email me, text me. I'll put you on an email list. And I've been trying at least once a month to send out at least an email to everyone to let them know what's going on, what's coming up. Okay. So that's probably the best.
Yeah.
Julie Geiser out at Game and Parks. A lot of people know her. They can contact her.
Yeah, they could just call the Game and Parks office and leave a message for her. That would be easy.
That's probably the easiest.
Do you want to give your number or email address?
Yep. My phone is 308-530-0162. And can either call or text. And then my email is Bonnie Edwards. It's BonnieEdwards@gmail.com.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You going to let her handle all that, Jim?
Well, I could. She seems to handle most of it anyway, so. Which is thankful for, yeah.
What's your next adventure?
Hopefully the Prairie Chickens in April, and then we have the meeting coming up April 4th that the guy from InCorp is going to talk to us about the Prairie Chickens. And then it might be a spur of the moment, but to look for the little wading birds and shorebirds that will be coming through. I'll probably give everyone an email and let them know when I see a few, and we'll just drive around our roads around North Platte.
Very good. Thank you very much for coming in this morning and sharing with us.
You bet.
And we'll probably see you out birding somewhere.
That's right.
Yes.
Good night.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.